Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
One question. Do I feel lucky?
Trolling, trolling, polling. Keep those hot takes flowing. Never really knowing which way the wind is blowing. He's trolling, trolling, polling. Trolling, trolling, polling.
Go ahead. Make my day.
It's time now for...
They call you Trollin' Volin? You look like it.
Trollin' Volin.
Who the hell is Ben Volin anyway?
I don't know what to tell you, buddy.
It's the Ben Volin Football Hour.
Herp derp, like I get it.
On WEEI.
Yes, sir. Back in studio after he was vomiting all show last week. Joined us on the phone, which is good, good on Ben.
Excellent hit.
Gutted through it last week.
Yeah, you guys should pay me double for that. I mean, I got a kick out of the commenters on Twitter being like, how can you guys force him to do a radio hit like that? You know, but that's the loyalty I have to you guys. 101 Fever, laying in bed. I'm still here for you, Ken.
That was Curtis. Bob Holder's burner account that was tweeting that.
I want to get to the scoop right away. Now, Ben Volin texted us very provocatively yesterday.
Oh, jeez.
I know how Belichick feels about Cam Newton. We can talk about it tomorrow. And I understand this will be in the notes coming up.
This will be in Sunday notes. Should be up on bostonglobe.com later today. But yes, I've spoken to two people recently who have spent time with Belichick this offseason.
Linda.
Not Linda.
Nike.
Not Linda. Who's that one?
Nike.
Yes. I'm his handler. Belichick's been down in Jupiter.
I know.
He's been in your neck of the woods down there looking tanned and refreshed. He's eating at Chili's at the Palm Beach Airport.
And
there.
Jeff Howe's been taking care of Nike.
Do you know he's in Jupiter? That's reporting on your part. Or has he posted stuff from there?
He lives right near a family friend in Jupiter.
Okay.
And one of the camera guys yesterday, the NBC Sports Boston camera guys, posted a picture of Belichick in the airport, and I'd heard that he was down there, and so I just kind of put two and two together that he was down in Jupiter.
Interesting.
But okay. I do know how Belichick actually feels about Cam Newton, and based on the conversations that I had with two different people who have spent time with Belichick, here's what they both said. Belichick genuinely loves Cam Newton.
Jesus Christ.
He loves him. He loved his work ethic. He loved everything he brought to the table this year, except... there's one big but.
Uh-oh.
His throwing shoulder. He obviously does not have a whole lot left, not a whole lot of juice left in that shoulder.
And just like the thing that's most important to his career.
Yeah, exactly. No big deal. The quarterback, has a bum shoulder. But otherwise, Belichick loves him. And two different people told me that. And one person was like, I don't know why, but, he was kind of taken aback with how much Belichick really respected and enjoyed working with Cam Newton this year. And so hearing that from two different people leads me to believe, look, I don't know if he's going to be back, but I think it's definitely a significant possibility, especially if Cam is willing to take another, low-rent contract this year. I don't think it's going to be minimum, but, assuming Cam is willing to take the bait, and it sounds like he is because, he said it, I don't want to leave. Belichick kind of has him, fish in a barrel this time because Cam says he doesn't want to leave, but Belichick genuinely liked him, but he is very much concerned about his throwing shoulder, which we all saw it last year. I went back and I looked at the end of the Texans game. He had a Hail Mary pass and it fell short at the 10-yard line.
Oh yeah, I remember that.
Now he threw it at the 33, so I did the quick math. It was a 57-yard pass, which isn't the worst, but you go back and you watch Aaron Rodgers, he's flinging those Hail Marys 65 yards plus, and Cam Newton, couldn't reach the goal line. So I thought that was telling. I think the expectation is that the Patriots aren't going to spend money on a quarterback again. and it's going to be whoever they can get at their price. And I have a, I think there's a decent chance that it is Cam Newton again.
God in heaven.
Well, now regarding the shoulder, Cam has not used that as an excuse ever, right? I mean, he used COVID as an excuse this week, but he didn't say my shoulder shot or I had a, it deteriorated.
And I went back, I did a Google search in a 2009 video on his YouTube channel, 2019 video on his YouTube channel. So 2 years ago, he admitted that he isn't able to push the ball downfield the way he wants to anymore, that he's had two different injuries to his shoulder. One was, I think one was a labrum and one was he has, you know, like inflammation with the something in there. And it was that mysterious, you know, he had a mysterious injury that he wasn't able to throw for much of 2019. Like he spent all offseason not throwing. And so in a 2019 video on his YouTube channel, he did admit that he just doesn't have the same arm strength that he used to. And I think we all saw it last year. Especially, I think what was most disconcerting about Cam's performance with the Patriots was that he didn't get better as the year went along. Some of his worst performances were in December, and that's not what you want to see. And, I mean, that was when he really started skipping passes and throwing for 81 yards a game and things like that. But Belichick really did love Cam Newton. He really – everything he said, you know, all the sunshine that he – it was Belichick speaking truthfully. And so I think Belichick – I don't necessarily agree. You guys know I'm all about Ryan Fitzpatrick or Jimmy Garoppolo. I think those are better answers. But I think Belichick might see it as, you know what, continuity is good. Give Cam a full offseason. He knows the receivers. And, you know, they were he went 7-8 last year in a couple different breaks. And, I mean, that's a 9-7 team. So I tend to think that that's the way that Belichick is leaning right now.
Okay. How can Bill love a guy who blatantly creates an excuse out of thin air regarding COVID, saying that he missed the terminology when he was sidelined with COVID? You and I were texting back and forth. He missed, what, two practices?
Yeah.
One?
Cam Newton is definitely an excuse-making season right now. There's no question. And this notion that McDaniels and the offense were moving along and they weren't going to help Cam catch up or they weren't going to design the offense around Cam, I find that very hard to believe. Christian Fourier the other day, I heard him found it very hard to believe that as well.
Can we play this full cut? Because I want to hear it again. If you don't mind.
Let's do it.
This is Cam talking about the COVID and how it derailed him.
By the time I came back, I didn't feel comfortable physically, skillfully. And a lot of that discomfort came pre-snap. I've always valued my talents as something that's the improv. Like, I'm going to make a play. I know how to make a play. I'm going, you know, in this system, it dictates, you know, by certain things and working extra with, you know, Josh. Throughout those times, there was times where it's just like, hold on, set wide Eddie. Hold on, am I supposed to set wide Eddie? Wide Eddie? And I'm like, lost of, like, hold on, I'm thinking too much.
Yeah.
The offense kept going, and I was stopped and stagnant for a week, 2 weeks. And then by the time I came back, it was new terminology and it was new.
Yeah.
I was like, hold on, but go back to level one. I wasn't just trying to learn a system for what it was. I was learning a 20-year system.
Correct.
In 2 months.
Correct.
So you don't buy that?
I buy some of it. I mean, that was a difficult scenario for Cam to try to learn an entirely new offense. And, you know, everyone, like, anytime you talk to anyone in the NFL about, like, I remember talking to the Bucs QB coach, how hard was it for Brady to go from the Patriots to the Bucs? And he said it's like French and English. So I think anytime you're learning a new system, it is like learning a new language. And Cam didn't have the offseason. But as far as just in the 2 weeks that he was gone, I have a hard time believing that he fell that far behind, especially because there was nothing preventing him from participating in the virtual meetings when he was sick. I mean, you were allowed to do that. Just because he had COVID didn't mean he had to be away from the team. He was allowed to participate, and the Patriots really didn't practice in that time. So it doesn't make sense to me that he would have fallen that far behind. Now, that said, I have heard through one of the Patriots backup quarterbacks that Cam had difficulty all year long picking up the offense, which, again, I give him slack for that because of how difficult the circumstances were with, you know, COVID and not practicing and all that. But it still seems like excuse making from Cam here. And I don't, he shouldn't have fallen that far behind in the 2 weeks when they weren't really gathering and practicing together.
But how diverse was the offense? I mean, they were running RPOs, I feel like, almost 20% of the time. I mean, it wasn't the Patriots offense with Tom Brady that it looked like. I mean, it was a totally dumbed down version of what they used to run.
More like read options. It's not even RPOs. There was no passing option. It was just,
I know, that's true.
It was a lot of read option. I think the key, yeah, you're right. The plays, a lot of the plays didn't quite look like what the Patriots ran with Brady, but just like the way of calling the plays, the language of it, and knowing, okay, if the safety comes down, what's my answer to that? You know, and Brady, that's like second nature to him. Cam, you could see the gears grinding, you know, in his head. He's just overthinking, and it's a lot to put on someone's plate, no question.
But when you're quarantining, isn't that what you can do? Like, what else are you going to do? You're sitting in your room in the seaport.
Well, he missed the Chiefs game. I mean, he did miss game action, where I'm sure things evolved over the course of that game. That
the second
put
to last game.
And when I was sick last week with my, you know, wussy little 101 temperature, I mean, the last thing I wanted to do was study my playbook. So right, maybe right, Cam yeah. was sick. And
totally.
You know, but you could still participate in meetings and things like that. And
what's the excuse for the Bills game? The second to last game of the season, he was awful.
No doubt. And that's what I said is, as the season, you know, when the season got into December, you want to be, you know, cresting. You want to be playing your best football. And he was playing among his worst. And that Bills game is a great example.
Played good against the Jets. Week 17 looked good to me.
Fantastic. Basically a
JV
game that day. But, I mean, that Bills game was non-competitive. So that, to me, I mean, they got blown out in that game, and it was at home. Yep. So, That to me would be evidence of why I would move on from Cam and why I want Ryan Fitzpatrick, because I think you're at least competitive with Fitzy.
But now Fitzpatrick is not Belichick's guy. I mean, he is a gunslinger. Does he fit here?
I think he does. And for, you know, we always talk about Belichick loves the guys that give him problems. The final game of 2019, Ryan Fitzpatrick, 2-minute drill, marching right down Belichick's defense's throat and throwing the game-winning touchdown that ruined their season. So I understand Belichick has seen Fitzpatrick for a long time and hasn't had too many problems playing him, but he did in that game, no question. And I think Fitzpatrick is not the same player he used to be. I mean, I think is probably a little bit safer with the ball, and this is a guy that's learned so many different systems. I want him more for the leadership aspect. Like, he can give you – you're not going anywhere with Fitzpatrick, but you're not going anywhere really with Cam Newton or Mariota or any of these other guys either. And Fitzpatrick, at least, has great leadership skills, would be a terrific mentor to whoever they draft, and would give you credible enough quarterback play that you can evaluate your left guard and you can evaluate your tight ends and your receivers. So that's why I would go with him, but – Belichick really genuinely seems to love Cam Newton, but is definitely concerned about his, you know, his throwing shoulder.
There's a chance, though, that Belichick's just doing this, talking to your sources and just trying to help Cam out again, because that was evident all year, right? They were doing each other a solid by, like, praising the Patriots, you.
And my theory, too, I think is gaining a lot of water, that I think Belichick has been publicly praising Newton so much because Belichick saw the backlash coming with Brady and no one wants to play in New England.
Right,
and
right.
So he's using Cam. I mean, all the last week, all we heard from Cam is Belichick's the most misunderstood guy. And so I think Belichick is smartly using Cam Newton to kind of smooth over his reputation a little bit.
Which brings me back to my analogy, which is Belichick is not too dissimilar from North Korea, where if you praise him, he's going to do things for you on your behalf, like how Trump and Kim Jong-un communicated.
That seems to be a fair analogy comparing Belichick to North Korea.
He loves Cam because he says good things about him.
Let's go through some of the weakened quarterbacks. Can you explain the Russell Wilson situation? Because Curtis's theory is that the wife is involved and she's trying to shoot her way out of town.
I think that makes a lot of sense because the list of teams that Wilson gave, some of them make no sense whatsoever. The Chicago Bears, I cannot wrap my head around that one because that team is a dumpster fire. The head coach and the GM are on the hot seat. They're in cap trouble. They're going to be losing players left and right. Why? And Chicago is where quarterbacks go to die. I mean, they've never had a good quarterback. So why would he possibly?
Hey, Rex Grossman got it done.
And, you know, Jim Harbaugh and I guess Jay Cutler was, you know, their best quarterback. Now, you know, the Saints, I can understand. The Raiders, you know, kind of the glitz of Vegas and players love John Gruden. Certainly the Dallas Cowboys, you're no more visible than being the quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys. But I can't wrap my head around the Chicago Bears. And, you know, frankly, I was surprised that the Jets weren't on that because, you know, the rumors that you have heard are that, yes, Ciara is kind of running the show there, and they want to go to the big city. Maybe that's why they want Chicago. It's just a big city or whatever, and visibility. But wouldn't it be something if the Jets held on to Darnold this year, used their draft picks, loaded up with talent, and then went out and got like a Russell Wilson next year? Like, if I'm the Jets, I'm thinking a little more long term than sinking, you know, some draft picks, the number two pick, into, you know, Tyler Wilson or whoever, Zach Wilson. Get those names mixed up all the time. I had an agent who doesn't represent any quarterbacks in this class. I was talking to him the other day. He said, man, I would not want to have to draft a quarterback this year. The college season was truncated. You can't get any face-to-face interaction with these kids. There's no combine. There's no facility visits. Even at pro days, you're not allowed to go up and talk to the kid. Everything has to be done virtually.
But what's the difference? Nobody can succeed. Nobody drafts a quarterback well anyway. In a normal year. I mean, God.
Exactly. So maybe it'll improve draft success, because everyone's just kind of – we're admitting now that we're just kind of guessing here the whole time. So I've heard people that say that only Lawrence is the only one that is going to be a good day one starter, that even Zach Wilson, you know, he's a little undersized, and Trey Lance, he's going to have played one game in 2 years. How do you evaluate a kid like that when he plays one game in 2 years and you can't have any face-to-face contact? So that's why that's why Belichick's going to load up, definitely get a veteran quarterback, and that's why they're not going to trade up and make a big investment, I don't think, in a quarterback. And that's, you know, second, third round, somewhere in there, I think, is much more realistic. But
this is sounding like
such a letdown.
The absolute worst case for, like, do they know how fans feel about Cam Newton? Are they aware of the backlash that this will cause?
I mean, I know Belichick's been in Florida, so maybe he hasn't been listening to WEI recently, but I would hope.
The radio.com app works 100% of the time.
Yes, it does.
I would hope that they do hear it, but at the same time, I don't want them making roster decisions based on what the fans want.
Well, then why are they out there leaking to whoever will listen that they're going to be uncharacteristically aggressive, and that Bill wants to make all these big moves, and Jeff Howe says they're aggressively in on every quarterback that's ever played the game? I mean, what's going on with that?
Who hates Howe worse, Ben or you?
I think Curtis. Curtis is the one who can't go 5 minutes without bringing him up. What was the question?
Kraft's meddling. Is Kraft involved?
No, I don't think Kraft is going to be too. I don't think he's going to be too
involved.
So where's
that coming from?
Where's what coming from?
The rumors that they're going to be uncharacteristically aggressive.
I mean, I think there are people in the organization saying that. I don't know if it's Bill directly, but and I've heard that too from people outside the organization, that like, Bill's not rebuilding. Bill wants to win. Bill wants to catch Shula and win another Super Bowl. He's not going to patiently rebuild through the draft. I mean, we'll see. I think it will be kind of a combination. But they are going to spend money in free agency, but that doesn't mean they're going to just go out and buy every wide receiver and tight end out there. I think the money they're going to spend is probably on defense and front seven, maybe some offensive line help. I've heard some rumors that Isaiah Wynn is going to be kicked inside, and that the Patriots are going to be looking for a tackle this year.
Another great first-round pick.
Yeah, their record in the first round. You know, it's been since 2012 since they've had a good, productive first round pick, and Wynn has flashed, and Sony Michel certainly was great in that playoff run, but I don't think he's been worth a first round pick by any stretch. And the last time they really picked a good solid first round pick was 2012 with Hightower and Chandler.
How many
Jones.
Years did they not have one? I
mean, well, they traded away several of them. The Brandon Cooks trade was one of them, and
four of those years they didn't have a first round pick.
They lost one for Deflategate,
right?
So. And admittedly, this is they've kind of gone for it. They've eschewed the draft picks in favor of the veteran players as Brady got older and all that. So, but their draft record has not been good, and it's been 9 years since they've had a good first round pick. So
Ben,
it's time.
Their plan right now, as you see it, which can obviously change, is that Cam Newton's back, bad arm and all. Second or third round is when they're going to go after a quarterback, and non splashy but lineman / roster boosting players, not superstars, in free agency.
Yeah, I think they might sign one wide receiver. I mean, I would love to see them go get like Juju Smith-Schuster, who's only like, what, 23, 24 years old. And the Steelers are probably going to have to let a bunch of their free agents walk. So I do think they might sign like a wide receiver, but yeah, it's not going to be like this incredible fantasy football spending.
So then they're lying. So then where are all these reports coming from? They're going to be uncharacteristically aggressive.
Because that is dangerous on their part.
Because they might spend money on a, you know, left tackle or on a, you know,
that's
a linebacker.
That is not going to sell. That is going to be, that's a fail.
No, you're right. It's not going to sell. But you know what? The Patriots, they sell tickets anyway, and people are going to go to the games anyway. And as long as they, you know, like I said, they had the worst roster in the NFL last year, and they were 7-9. So, you know, you add a couple pieces, a couple breaks go your way. You're a 9-7, 10-16. You're
and the opt-outs, which Rappaport says are all eight or back.
They're all coming. Well, what's funny is they're all, yes, they're all back in the mix. Let's see how many of those eight actually make the team. I'm curious to see what they do with Hightower. He's going to be expensive. You know, a year off from football is not insignificant.
All right, I want you to do this right now. AFC East quarterback situations from best to worst.
Well, I mean, you have to put the Patriots at the worst just because we don't know what they've got, but I'm not a Tua fan, so I think the Patriots can easily jump ahead of Miami if even with Cam Newton, you know, a Cam Newton and a rookie, because I did not see Tua, you know, anything from him last year, and he held them back, and that's a team ready
you
to win.
You are such a Fitzpatrick fan. God,
well,
it's amazing.
He was clearly the better quarterback last year.
Like 13 touchdowns, 8 picks. He was not that good.
Yeah, but
want to go over Cam stats?
And you know, Fitzpatrick, you know, most of the bulk of his playing time came in like the first 3 weeks of the season when there was no preseason, no offseason, none of this. So he was clear, and twice they brought him in off the bench. But, you know, if any team's going to go make a run for Deshaun Watson, the Dolphins are the team. That's you know, they're a quarterback away from being a Super Bowl contender. So they're, you know, but
On that front, on Watson for a second. All right, Florio posts this today. Deshaun Watson will lose $20 million if he sits out the 2021 season.
It's true.
Who has the leverage here?
The team has all the leverage. Not all the leverage. The team has most of the leverage. The only leverage that Watson has is to make a stink. Is to just be as untenable as possible and to kind of throw hissy fits in public, him and his agents and his QB coach, and you're starting to see increased frustration from those guys. And, you know, Watson, he could show up, but then, you know, take plays off in camp, or he could purposely overthrow balls, or he could, oh, my back hurts. Like, he could hold in almost. If he just becomes so disruptive that the team's like, all right, we just got to get rid of this guy. That's his only leverage, and it's like, that's a big step to take. Now you're becoming, you know, Terrell Owens doing shirtless sit-ups in your driveway, you know, like that's...
I guess, but for Caserio, that might be true. You can save all that money, but then you have no quarterback. You have a guy that's sitting out. He's not going to come back and be a good employee, so that you ruin the reputation. I mean, I don't know what he does.
Yeah, yes, if Watson sits out, it could be a disaster for Houston. They probably have to draft someone or at least have a decent veteran backup just in case. But you don't want to cave in. You don't want to be known as the team that just caves into player demand.
If you get four picks, maybe you do.
Well, if you're just blown, if you're blown away by the Dolphins' offer, and that's part of, if you're going to trade Watson, you need something back.
Yep.
And I don't think Tua is enough to get it done. You need a real quarterback in return to be able to do that trade. But I don't think Caserio goes to Houston. Yeah, the third pick I think would count, because then you could draft, you know, Fields or Wilson or whatever. And the Texans are tearing it down to the studs and starting over. So I think getting four first round picks would be very tempting to them. But you have a 26-year-old franchise quarterback, one of the best in the game, under contract, cost controlled for the next 5 years. That is the most valuable piece, other than, you know, Mahomes in the NFL.
And so, why'd he sign it? What, if he was so miserable, why'd he sign it?
I mean, that's a great question, and that's again, that's what I haven't been able to come you know across or come down with yet is, what has happened in the last 5 months that is so awful that he now wants out? Like, what has changed so much? And I understand maybe, you know, the owner went back on his word a little bit, or, I mean, certainly that team is a mess, and they're one of the more dysfunctional teams in the NFL right now. But he did just sign that extension, and, you know, he comes out with that tweet about loyalty the other day, and I had more than one person tell me, I mean, where's his loyalty? You know, he just signs that contract, and all of a sudden, you know, he wants out. So...
But the Patriots need this to happen. Like, they need Watson and Wilson to go to shake loose some other quarterback somewhere else that frees up Derek Carr or Jimmy G or I don't know, Bridgewater, I guess. If he goes, if
I don't, I talked to someone about Teddy the other day. Teddy's always been a warm weather or a dome quarterback in his career. I don't know how good he'd be in New England or a cold weather team. But yeah, Teddy Bridgewater is certainly an option that's out there. I wouldn't count on Jacoby Brissett coming back. Not that he's like the answer, but
why? What's wrong with him?
Him and Belichick and McDaniels didn't fully click the first time. They didn't love his performance, and I mean, there's a reason they traded him for a number four receiver. You know, like
2 years ago, he was not bad. He was the 21st QBR quarterback of 2019.
Yeah, I agree.
I mean, he was not terrible.
All right, sign him up.
Well, I mean,
he's definitely in like
this
the 20.
Life after Brady, we're haggling over QBR at 21.
Everyone in the league is now laughing at New England because they're in quarterback purgatory, and you know, welcome to the world of the Cleveland
Browns.
Well, I mean,
Browns. Brady didn't have anything left, so they clearly made the right decision anyway. So.
Unbelievable how in 2016 they had Brady, Garoppolo, and Brissett, and have nothing to show for it now.
One thing I have no life. So last night I was looking at Pro Football Reference and the 2018 Patriots coaching staff. Tell me if this is normal. Since that Super Bowl run, it's Steve Belichick and Josh McDaniels, and that's it, left on the staff.
They've had a ton of turnover. That's not, I mean, you only see that with teams where the head coach gets fired and you bring in a whole new staff.
Right. I mean, there was, like, Flores is a good coach. You had Joe Judge. Whatever. I mean, he seemed to be doing well here.
Mayo not in the mix then?
I did not see Mayo, but maybe I'm wrong.
No, I think you're right. He came in 2019 after that Super Bowl. Yeah, I mean, they've had a ton of turnover. Like, a lot of it, I think, has been by choice. You know, position coaches, I don't know, you can find new wide receiver coaches.
But a lot of those guys went in the division, like, because
they followed
O'Shea,
Flores,
who's now gone, but he went with Flores down to Miami.
Yeah.
It's, I don't know, very strange.
Yeah, and they've had a ton of turnover, which is why we can scoff at this, but I think it's good to have guys like Matt Patricia back, who at least have institutional knowledge, and Belichick works with him well, and things of that nature. It's good to have some continuity.
Speaking of the North Korean regime, Patricia, who never says a bad word about Bill, comes right back in the door, prevents him from getting Stafford.
All right, more of Ben Volen. I do want to bring up Hal's report this week and see if you agree with it, concur with the Jeff Howe reporting in The Athletic. Ben Volen here for the hour. It's his football hour. Ken and Curtis, our show. We bring Ben in, so you can blame us. Here's Get to Trending right now.
We're back to the Ben Volen Football Hour on EEI.
The Boston Globe's cult of personality. He is Ben Volen. This is the Ken and Curtis Show, but it's the Ben Volen Hour. Now, Jeff Howe of The Athletic talks about football, writes
Curtis
about football.
Curtis' favorite reporter.
Yeah, this week Curtis attributed a quote to him that was Doug Kyed's, and Howe got very upset, which I can understand. He was misquoted, and those two had it out on Twitter, and Curtis somewhat apologized.
I think he's still liking replies to the tweet right now.
Oh, he was up all night liking every positive reply.
Sensitive.
But I like this report. I think this is interesting. Now, I want Volen's take on this because Volen is tied in. Jeff Howe reporting the New England Patriots have been aggressively pursuing the quarterback trade market. They have been thwarted by inflated prices. They've had conversations with every potential trade target in the league. They spoke with Matt Stafford and Carson Wentz, but they were not serious contenders due to the asking price. But if a quarterback has been perceived available, they've picked up the phone, and they haven't ruled out Cam. Agree, disagree, like the report, hate the report?
The only thing I disagree with is the characterization that they're being aggressive.
Yep.
If they're being aggressive, then the price wouldn't get in the way for getting Stafford or for getting Carson Wentz.
The word in there, thwarted, should not exist if they are being aggressive.
Right. I mean, Carson Wentz easily could have been had.
They're aggressively picking up the phone. Like, the manner of picking the phone up.
Maybe they're dialing aggressively.
They're doing their diligence, which they should be. And
do you think Bill does star 6-9?
Oh, get the rotary phone for
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, he probably does have a house phone, like a landline that he.
No question.
Yeah, easier to make phone calls that way. But yeah, I mean, I definitely think they're checking up on all the quarterbacks, and then they hear what the price is, and they say no, thank you, because especially like a guy like Mariota, you can wait that out. You know, the Raiders are eventually going to release him.
They will. That's definitely going to happen.
I mean, I'm not reporting it, but yes, it certainly seems they're not going to keep a backup for $10 million.
Settle a bet for us, Ben. Would the Bucs have won the Super Bowl with Derek Carr last year?
No.
Thank you.
No, definitely not.
You're wrong. You're prerogative.
No.
Go ahead.
That is completely minimizing.
He's a top 10 quarterback.
Derek Carr
is
not a top 10 quarterback.
Yes, he is. Statistically, look at the pass
rate. And he's not a coach on the field the way Brady is. Okay. And he had that one season where they made it, but he broke his leg.
Did Stafford ever make the playoffs? Or
no, which is why I think he's pretty overrated, too.
Well, then you agree with the Patriots that they were inflated prices and they shouldn't have gone after Stafford.
I absolutely agree with
the
Patriots.
So quit ripping Howell's report.
No, Ben didn't say they were aggressively pursuing them. Jeff did.
No, he's saying they weren't aggressively pursuing Stafford and Wentz because they weren't interested.
I could have seen the Patriots have, like, giving up the 15th pick for Stafford, because for $20 million he's pretty cheap this year. But then when you look and see what the Rams gave up, no way would I do that for Stafford.
I agree, I think
he's grossly overrated.
Well, okay, but if I'm a Pats fan and I read that they're in on trades, that means they are going to be aggressive for Jimmy G or for Carr if they become available, and that makes me happy.
Jimmy G, yes, but I don't think they're going to trade for him. I don't think San Francisco is giving up Jimmy G unless they're bowled over by an offer.
Or if they get Watson or Wilson.
Right, but I don't think
they're not Wilson.
Wilson, and I don't think they're in a position to give up, you know, four future number one picks for Deshaun Watson, and I don't think Nick Caserio is even picking up the phone to accept that trade right now. So the Niners know what they have. They've got a pretty good quarterback in Jimmy Garoppolo. They don't love the price tag, but he's still a pretty good quarterback, and they're not just going to release him. So I think they'd have to be bowled over by a trade offer, and when have the Patriots ever bowled anyone over with a trade offer?
Do they regret not going after Brady more seriously last offseason?
I wonder if Kraft does. I don't think Belichick does.
No, I mean the 49ers.
Oh, yeah, I bet they probably do, because I think you could – I think you could reasonably say the 49ers are sitting here with a Lombardi trophy today, or at least
look at that,
or at least an NFC championship game appearance. Cause I mean, look, Brady's durable. Brady's going to play in all 16 games. Now it was a big risk. It was a big risk last offseason. Brady's going to be 43. He's played in the same offense his whole career. You know, you have a good quarterback in Garoppolo who just made the Super Bowl. So I completely understand why the Niners didn't do it, but I do think John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan are, you know, maybe having a little bit of remorse over that decision. Life is pretty rosy for Bruce Arians and Jason Licht right now. I got a kick. We were on a press conference, a Zoom call with Jason Licht the other day, and someone's like, Jason, you know, how did you build this incredible team for the Super Bowl? And with all due respect to Jason Licht, it's like, well, we sucked for a lot of years. We had a bunch of top 10
we
picks.
We drafted Devin White.
And then we bought a quarterback who's the greatest of all time, and then it all came together. So it's not like this grand, like, roster building.
Right. But back to that, you were the only one to say the Brady surgery is a bigger deal than people are saying, and now quietly he's out until July.
Yeah.
Curtis is nervous.
I thought it was June.
Okay, June, July, whatever.
Yeah, June, according to Bruce Arians.
Sounds better, July.
There's more going on there than just a little bit of a cleanup. And, like, whatever. We all know that Brady's going to be he'll be fine for the season, and we're not worried about him. But he's definitely dealing with something more with his knee.
Like, uh-oh.
My ears perked up a lot. And it's his left knee. It's the ACL knee.
Uh-oh.
So there's something going on there.
I love how Ken's voice gets when he's got bad Brady news.
I don't hate Brady. He's fine. Now, Edelman. I want to update on Edelman. We'll get to the calls.
Who would you rather have, Tom Brady with one leg or Cam Newton?
Tom Brady with one leg. As long as he's got a functioning brain and a functioning arm, that's right. All you need with Brady. And Brady's a guy who can play through a knee injury because he's not a mobile quarterback. Like, if he were, Lamar Jackson or even, like, Mahomes, it wouldn't work. But...
Oh, and you said on the text that might be down the line an issue with the Ravens and Lamar Jackson.
Well, hold on that. Can we hold on that?
Yeah. Sure.
I want to get to Edelman, then we'll get some quarterback calls, and then we'll do the down-the-line conversation. But here's what Rappaport said about Edelman. Very mysterious yesterday on NFL Network.
Another player we have been kind of, I'd say, wondering about is Julian Edelman, the veteran receiver, obviously a longtime face of the franchise in New England. Still trying to work his way back from a knee injury that drastically shortened his 2020 season. My understanding is he does want to play in 2021. That's not the important thing. The important thing is his knee going to be healthy enough to play? He is still rehabbing. He is still recovering. Still trying to see if he is healthy enough to be out there for the 2021 season. No decision made yet on which way that is going to go.
All right, so it's kind of a nothing report, but is it? I mean, does that... Is that like a Dustin Pedroia sort of he's done, he just doesn't want to admit it, he's coming to terms with it? Or
no, I think it's only February, and his knee obviously isn't feeling 100%, but there's still a long way to go till the season starts. And he's a guy with a torn ACL, and usually there are complications after that, arthritis, you know, bone on bone, that kind of stuff. To me, it's Edelman's availability in 2021 is all about his knee, because he's, even though he's getting to an age 34, 35, where, you know, it's time to move on, and this is a guy who's taking a lot of hits and his body's taking a pounding, he's still, I think, a good, productive little receiver. And he's so cheap next year that, like, why not? He's only like $3 million next year.
So right. $3.5 million.
He can be your veteran. He can be your, you know, leader in the locker room. So I would bring him back if his knee allows it. So I think I actually found Ian's report there to be useful. To me, it's all about his knee, and it's going to be, you know, probably a decision between him and Belichick. Do you think he can give it a go? And even if it's not 100%, it's worth a shot, because it's not costing you any real money to bring him back. So, I think he would have had a big effect on the offense last year if he were able to play in the second half of the season. He had that huge game against Seattle in week two. Hmm. So, I think Edelman's probably going to do whatever he can to try to come back. But if the knee won't allow it, you know, it also comes back, like with Gronk, it was always like, well, you know, I could play for $7 million, but is it worth it? And so I think Edelman has to decide, is the money, you know, the $3.5 million going to be worth it for him? And it might be, because there aren't many jobs out there where he can make $3.5 million. But, you know, to me, if he's healthy, the Patriots should definitely bring him back for another year.
12 years, his career earnings in the NFL, $44 million. That's what Kemba Walker's making this year.
Patrick Mahomes makes him 1 year.
Right.
Oh, God. Oh. We should talk about that, actually, the state of the salaries in the league. David in the car on the Ben Volen Football Show. What's up, David?
Hey, guys. I'm Dick Ross, speaker here. So thank you for the – hey, great show, guys. I think all along, I listen to you guys in the morning all the time, and I always felt you guys should have, because you guys have such different views of each other that I think it makes such a great show. So I'm really happy you guys finally have your own show.
Thanks, buddy. Appreciate
it. No problem. So here's my thing with everything that's going on with quarterbacks and – the whole team in general, the whole organization for the Patriots. I think one of the issues going to be is the Patriots are desperate, okay? As much as they may say they're not going to make desperate moves, at the end of the day, we all know they will. And my concern, sort of, is that the players out there are going to take advantage of that, because right now we don't have a quarterback. So who's going to come to New England and play with who? Who's going to be my QB? Who's going to throw to me? And then I think that's going to play a big factor for the simple fact that they know that they can ask for more money with the Patriots, because it's like, if they really want me, they're going to pay. It's like anything else. When you really want somebody, and if you really need him, you're going to have to pay extra. And I think that's going to happen with the Patriots, regardless of what we all think and we know that Belichick doesn't like to. I think he's going to be forced to do so.
Interesting.
I would agree 100%, especially when it comes to wide receivers or tight ends. You're not the days of the Patriots, you know, getting guys slightly below market or not the top value. Like, those days are done. For the Patriots to be able to sign a guy with their current quarterback situation, they're going to have to be the top offer. Now it's possible. I mean, look, they were the top offer to Adam Humphries a few off seasons ago, and you know he wanted to stick to his word.
That was Belichick in Barbados. That was his.
That's right.
He was late on the trigger.
Yeah, I'm sure you guys went easy on him on that story.
Yes, we did.
But they can still sign defensive players. They can still sign offensive line. They can still build their team without having a great quarterback situation. But just the days of the Patriots being this great destination are over with. They're going to have to be the top offer for guys. And, they can be. They will be. I've heard some stories that would surprise you about the Patriots being really aggressive with certain players. Just not
any
working.
Any names?
I heard a good story the other day. I hate to be like this, but I can't come out with it yet. But
good.
Yeah.
What else can't you talk about?
Great tease right there. So they've been a
you guys want to hear a great joke?
But Adam Humphries is a good example.
Hal would have posted that. Right
Hal just texted me. It was Brady related.
Oh,
did he really?
No.
No.
Jesus.
Read the text. So, yes, you know, them being a free agent destination, those days are gone. Tampa Bay is now your free agent destination. That's where the players want to go.
Steve in Fall River on the Ben Volen Show. Hello, Steve.
How's everything, guys? Good to hear you.
You as well.
It's pretty ironic that now I hear that Bill wants to be a value position at quarterback. But some people said, he doesn't value the quarterback position. So what I'm hearing is, he'll save money at quarterback, if that's what's true, but he'll overpay for everybody else because he's got a value at quarterback. Did I get that right?
Well, I just think that the options available for them are lead the Patriots to not spending money. I mean, they're not just going to give Marcus Mariota $20 million just because that's what you pay a starting quarterback. I think they see the options available to them, and so they say, all right, well, this is our number. Like, Cam Newton is not a guy that you want to break the bank for, but if he's willing to come back.
All right, so I don't have a problem with them kicking the tires, but if they keep saying, why do I want to spend $20 million on Mariota? Why do I want to spend it on this guy? Why do I spend it on that guy? Doesn't that lead them to say, let's do it in the draft? We know what these guys, at least I see it that way. We know that Marcus Mariota is mediocre. He's already got 50 games in the league. We know about some of these other guys, Jacoby Brissett, all these other guys, the guy in Miami, the bearded wonder down there in Miami. What good is it if, there's no upside there?
I agree. There is no upside. Well, the upside to these guys is you can maybe get to 10-6 or 10-7, whatever, 17 games this year, and there's now 7 playoff teams, so you're never, fully out of it. I think the way the Dolphins completely tore down and tanked that year, that went too far. You don't have to tank that much.
And the Chiefs are not unbeatable. Newsflash. They are not a dynasty.
No,
they may be
not.
Crumbling. Right? I mean, the AFC is not. It is reasonable for the Patriots to be in the mix next year.
Yeah, absolutely.
With a good offseason.
In that regard, Brady did do most of the AFC a favor because that team, it just strikes me now that they are such a front-running team. Kelce loves to celebrate and dance. Mahomes is unbelievable, but I don't know. I feel the same way Ken did. But I just think that to look at this Patriots situation, you've been kind of pushing this aside probably because you don't live in the world of fake news as much as Ken does and I do sometimes. But the Patriots saying that this is going to, or the Patriots through media entities saying that this is going to be a huge offseason where they're going to do things totally different. They're going to be uncharacteristically aggressive. In my opinion, if they do what you've sort of laid out here, there is going to be a very angry fan base because they've been set up for this is the year. Last year, you have Matt Light going on the Greg Hill show saying it's a COVID year. You have Jermaine Wiggins basically, rubbing Cam's back all season. Now you're at this point where Brady's won it all. He's done that. You're sitting here, and if they enter with Cam and Hoyer and Sam Ellinger from Texas, that is awful. Like, people are going to lose their mind.
Yeah, but the Patriots are still going to sell out every game, and that's all they really care about.
Yeah, but they care a lot about TV ratings, and they were down last year.
Yeah, but if Cam can get you to 10-7 and get you into the playoffs, then, where's the real damage there?
I think the Patriots fans, maybe they'll all jump on board when this is officially he's back and that, there is some of that, but the vitriol and the anger about the possibility of a return of Cam Newton is real.
Absolutely. I hear it every day on your guys' show. I see it on Twitter mentions. And I mean, I think they can do better than Cam Newton. I want the bearded wonder. I think he'd be a great leader for them.
Fitzpatrick.
But they got to draft someone. The caller is absolutely correct. They have to. And it doesn't have to be in the first round, but they do have to draft someone in the first 2 days. They got Garoppolo at the end of the second round. He ended up being pretty good. So they have to draft someone. And I don't want that kid to start right away, so I want them to be able to develop the kid.
Well, then you might like the Mel Kiper theory. I want to run that past you on the way. The final segment of the Ben Volen Show. Also, Lamar Jackson, a nugget from Ben on that, and J.J. Watt's possibility coming to New England as well. This is EEI.
More off-season football talk now. This is the Ben Volen Football Hour on EEI.
Final thoughts on the Ben Volen Football Hour. Mel Kiper, mock draft, trade scenario. Pats go from 15 to 9, trade up with Denver, get that pick, take Trey Lance, North Dakota State. First round pick, another first round pick, and a second, I believe. So two firsts and a second. Is it a good deal? Is it possible?
Yes, possible. I don't know about Broncos because the Broncos are a team that badly want a quarterback. So, you know, they're the big wild card.
My point on Friday, Wiggy was saying this, and he's like, what, you don't believe Mel Kiper Jr.? I'm like, okay.
They have Drew Lock, a young up-and-comer.
They definitely want to, at minimum, bring in competition for Lock, and at maximum, they're going to do something stupid for Deshaun Watson. But, yes, I could see the Patriots potentially trading up. I don't think it's likely. And it's funny, I had a I was talking to Dan Jeremiah from the NFL Network a few months ago, and I asked him, okay, of all these guys, who do you like as like a fit for the Patriots? And he said, Trey Lance from North Dakota State, runs a pro-style offense, big, tough kid, plays in cold weather. My concern would be he didn't have a 2020 season, so he played one game in 2020. And so by the time next season starts, he'll have played one game in like 21 months. So that, but the Patriots wouldn't be getting him to start right away. They'd be getting him to sit and develop. So I wouldn't be against that. Especially, you know, one story that hasn't gained traction at all is J.C. Jackson is probably going to get a first-round restricted free agent tender, and those guys rarely move, but there's a possibility that a team that has a back end of the first-round pick and, like, needs a cornerback says, I'd rather go get a 24-year-old than a rookie, and I think the Patriots would do that. So I could see them getting a second number one pick for J.C. Jackson and having two ones this year, and then they have all kinds of ammo to move up and down.
I would do that. He did not play great when Gilmore was out.
I would take a first round pick for J.C. Jackson.
Absolutely.
I think his value is inflated by his interceptions, which, you know, you can't fake the interceptions, but there's so much more to playing cornerback than that. So, they're going to put most likely a first round tender on him. And usually those RFAs don't get signed away. But with how tough it is to evaluate the prospects this year, I could see a team picking in the 20s sign him and give up their first round pick. So we'll see how that goes. But we all know the Patriots, they won't finish the draft with whatever picks they go in with it. They always do lots of dealing. So that's something to look out for.
Any chance J.J. Watt comes to New England?
I see no chance. Already there's one report out saying his final three are the Packers, the Bills, and the Titans, which
Argonauts.
Which the Titans were the team that I circled from the beginning. The Bills make a lot of sense too. He'd be a cult hero. I mean, I think he'd be a perfect fit for like Buffalo. Like the fan base would love him there.
He needs to be loved.
Yeah.
He's got a little ego.
I've actually warmed up to J.J. Watt. I thought he was kind of a hardo his first few years, but he's kind of awesome now. Like the way he reaches out to fans and, you know, he always like plays catch with fans during warm-ups and stuff. And
Jesus, Ben's gotten all lovey-dovey.
I like me some J.J. Watt. But the Patriots, where they're at in their franchise life cycle right now, they're starting over. And signing 32-year-old pass rushers to big contracts makes no sense. And a 32-year-old pass rusher wanting to come here makes no sense. He wants to play for a title. And the Patriots, they're not there yet. To me, I think Titans and Bills make all the sense in the world. Packers, I think they might just be in there as like a leverage play. You know, he's hometown Wisconsin kid. Maybe his agents want a third team to be in the mix, you know, to drive up the price. But
you like Shelley and Woodley.
he's engaged now. Good for Aaron Rodgers.
Doing something well.
Yeah, finally.
Is it Shalene or Shailene?
I don't know.
Shailene.
But I cut off your Lamar Jackson point earlier.
Oh, yeah, much more important. On our text thread yesterday, you intimated that there may be issues afoot for the Ravens and Lamar Jackson.
Yeah, watch out for this one. So Jackson's now entering his fourth year in the NFL, which means he's now eligible for a contract extension. And I've been told by two different people that they have talked, the Ravens and Lamar Jackson, but they are way far apart because Lamar Jackson thinks he wants Deshaun Watson money.
Ooh.
I'm an MVP. We've won a lot of games. And the Ravens look at it, well, you're not so proficient as a passer. We're not a great team when we have to play from behind. Also, he's under contract for two more years, and he's only supposed to make $1.77 million this year. So that definitely works against him. I don't think he's going anywhere this offseason, but it's something to watch in the future. I don't know if the Ravens are totally committed to Lamar Jackson. I don't know if they're going to be the ones that give him the second contract. So maybe that's an option next offseason.
That is going to be a national story, not just NFL story, when that becomes an issue publicly, because there's a lot of people that are going to be desirous for a big-time payday for Lamar Jackson in the mainstream media. It's going to be a very interesting way that's discussed.
Desirous? What, are you Rush over here?
No, I'm saying that they believe that, like, did you see the reaction when Lamar Jackson won the playoff game this year? It was every single blue check mark in the media was like throwing balloons. It was like this unbelievable moment. And then he lost the next week. He's now 1-3 in the playoffs. And I don't think. Do you think he should get anywhere near what Mahomes or Deshaun Watson got?
Me personally, no. Just because, again, it's a passing league, and there are still many questions about him as a passer. And I, even though they won that playoff game and they erased a 10-point deficit, there's still, I think, a lot of questions about whether they're truly a play from behind kind of offense, and whether they have to be kind of, you know, front runners with Lamar Jackson. So. Yes, you're right. He's a very polarizing quarterback. There are a lot of people. I mean, he is an MVP. You can't take that away from him. And he's won a ton of games. So he's going to view himself in that Patrick Mahomes, Deshaun Watson territory that he might be disappointed with what he gets.
Good job, Ben. Enjoyed the hour as always. Curtis, you have to put up with me again on Monday. One day off tomorrow. You've earned it.
Yes.
Enjoy Metsy and Figo. Fitzy and Mego coming up next. Megan Adelini off for 2 hours with Mutt last night.
I talked to her briefly in the hallway, and she said that he wasn't too rude. So okay. I don't know what exactly happened, but
that's good. All right, moral of the story today, Belichick loves him some Cam Newton,
yeah,
but he is concerned about the shoulder. So
what do you use to pass a football?
your brain, your feet, your lower trunk.
We're going to implement some more terminology for you next week, Ben, so be ready.
See you next Saturday, same time, 9 a.m. to 1, and Fitzy and Mego coming up.